everyone. I'm Tony Lontis, and this is the Everyday Business Show.
I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because if I fail, that means I fail for my entire female nation, I call it.
Is that possible? That was the question for myself. And it is absolutely possible.
Good afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. And welcome to everyone across the planet. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and this is the Everyday Business Show, and I have another amazing guest to chat to today. But before we get on with that, a quick reminder, if you're listening on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, we have Hannah ready and waiting to provide you with links to anything that we talk about today to take your comments and engage with you generally. I encourage you to jump on to our YouTube channel and subscribe so you can catch up on all the shows that you've missed. And I want to make sure that you jump on to the Tony TV channel app available on all Roku, LG, and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. Now, a little bit of what we do each week is our important acknowledgement of the very special role that our Indigenous communities play in the development of our country's cultural identity. So I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, on whose land we meet and broadcast, and pay my respect to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people listening here or watching today. Our guest today is Kathy DeMarcos, and she is a lovely friend of mine, but here's what you need to know about Kathy. Now, Kathy is a global business advisor and an award-winning mentor. She is an indefatigable philanthropist, great words, a TEDx speaker and author who has future-focused and works from her place of genius to actualize goals and dreams for people in business and personally. She is known as the alchemist in business. Her company, Solutions to You, was born from a passion to serve and create sustainable impact. She is highly sought after all over the world as a professional advisor and motivational voice with more than three decades of experience in finance, scaling businesses, and she dedicates her time and sharing her knowledge with, which combines people, business, and situational skills to deliver tangible tools and skills. Her values take center stage, and business becomes honest and expressive as she helps people be comfortable with being uncomfortable, unlearn patterns that don't serve them any longer, and helps them step forward with clarity to enable them to reach their goals. It is my divine pleasure to welcome to the show today, Kathy DeMarcos. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, hello, Tony. You know what? The number of times I even stumble on indefatigable, but I keep thinking.
It's the best word though, Kathy. Like, it's just great.
I leave it in there. People go, gosh, you're nasty. And I go, no, I don't do it with that intention. But I do get a giggle because it happens every time and I fumble too.
And I've read it. Like, I've read it multiple times before we get to the live show and I still muff it. But then that's part of my branding, the imperfect Tony Lontis.
Well, you know the wabi-sabi saying in Japanese, it's actually the perfection in imperfection. So we want exactly the whole of you, Tony, nothing else.
I had to. Do you know, Kathy, speaking of imperfection, it was one of my biggest struggles. It was one of my biggest struggles to show up and decide that it doesn't have to be perfect, because some of the greatest things come from imperfection. There's still moments, like when I muff the words, that little imperfect voice goes, ooh, and then I go, no, it's okay. It's as it's meant to be, and move on.
Yep, absolutely.
Kathy, we've got your story is really amazing, and I want to start with your story and your journey to becoming a CEO.
Gosh, where do I start? Look, I have actually set up and scaled businesses since 1997, but this new hat is the new version of me. It's the evolving version of me. My background actually starts in finance. I've got 35 years in finance, and during that time, most of that time has actually been in business. And when I look back, there are different milestones that actually have shaped me and, you know, and brought me to where I am. So the first one, I think, was during the global financial crisis. I was actually doing a lot of litigation work. I was in mortgages. I was looking after a portfolio of $10 million, gosh, back in the 80s. So that sort of left me in a position one night where I had a suicidal client. And it was in that moment where I realized I actually needed to be more. It didn't matter how good I was at my job, but I needed to be more and I needed to do more. So several years later, I decided that I would actually become a qualified counsellor. So I studied for 4 years and then practiced, but I still stayed in finance.
Okay.
Unusual, and everybody said that I was crazy. However, it made sense.
Yes, very much. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So that was one pinnacle point. So all of my practices, I basically took that forward with me. I then had other pivotal moments, things where I actually looked back and thought, why am I doing this? But at some stage you start to really actually look inwards and trust your instincts.
Yes.
So my career path came out of the bank into a whole array of other areas, sales, educational products, clothing for kids. You know, I just tried a whole array of things during a sabbatical, which then actually took me down a path which was the steepest learning curve in my entire career, and it's in securitization. So I hold financial licenses in the banking industry.
Yeah.
That then really led me to where I am today. I walked away from a really well-paid job, but I discovered in that process what I didn't want. And for me, that then brought me back to really actually succinctly looking at my values. And that's how I decided to do what I do today. However, when Ebola broke out, my 16-year-old daughter actually said, I'm going to Africa to volunteer.
Oh.
And my husband didn't quite say, oh, he said, no. So me being really solution focused, it was how do I actually honour how he's feeling, because I can actually sense that trepidation too.
Yes.
But also recognise that she's actually made an incredible, I guess, discovery of who she was, right? I've got to honour her. So that actually took us to Tanzania. And when I say us, I committed to allowing her to put a framework in place where she would be safe. At that stage, she then was 17 when she left to embark on a three-month journey. And to be honest, Tony, I really didn't know what she was going to face. But what we agreed was she would go for 1 month and she was going with projects abroad, and I would follow her for the next 2 months. And we spent time working in orphanages, in crisis centres. We taught English. We lived with a Maasai for three weeks. That really added another layer to who I was choosing to be. So when it came time to starting up this company, I was really purposeful. It was about what impact do I want to create. It was no longer about what job I was going to do. It was about what's the impact? What am I really trying to achieve in life? And that's, I took 3 months to really decide how that would look. That then meant that all of my values needed to align across everything I did. Now, I go back to when my daughter started. That time was also my point of recognition of our footprint.
Yes.
So I then looked at the environment and how we contribute to that. So I started to find out how, and I did courses on how to make soaps, organic soaps. I really disliked the fact that everything organic seemed to be so expensive. So for me it was, hang on a minute, we all contribute to everything we do. It doesn't matter how insignificant we think it is. So I then started the company Ingenium with her. So we make all natural products and we sell them into organic shops.
Yes.
But all the proceeds actually go to the work that we do in Africa. So
amazing.
It is, for me, that circular economy. You know, I talk and live by it. Sometimes we don't need words. We just need to do, just live what we say that we're going to do. And so that's the practice that I have. In everything that we do, it is about a circular economy. It is not just about business but as us as people and about how we contribute to the world and the footprint we leave behind.
Absolutely.
So that is everything that we encompass. Even, you know, today I'm actually at a charity function, I think it's next week, and it's for the Special Olympics. They're all actually, all the attendees are going to get one of our organic soaps, you know. It is always looking about how you can leave people in a better place. So in a really long way, I've landed in solutions to you thinking about how I can contribute, how do I align my values, who I actually choose to do business with, and how I continue to pay things forward. So we have a really big philanthropical arm in everything that we do, and we have done since its inception. And before that, to be honest. Does that sort of give you an indication?
That's fantastic, because now I want you to share with the audience about solutions to you and what the vision and what you do and how you interact with business and people in the solutions to you space.
Okay, so Solutions to You is actually a company that removes blind spots, strengthens financial positions, and then actually builds high performance teams, but also incorporates that vision of the circular economy. It is always about paying things forward.
Yeah.
So I'm engaged to do everything from psychological safety to literally scaling businesses, looking at efficacy and efficiency from a compliance point of view, from an operational point of view. But at the heart of everything, Tony, is people. You know, I look at who's in the business and then what the business wants to achieve. And we bring all of those synergies together so that everybody feels like they actually belong and can contribute.
Yes. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I know from my limited experience, as comparison to yours, that there are difficulties that you face along the way. So I wondered if you could tell the audience about some of those difficulties, how you face them and what you learnt about them. Because from my perspective, one of the things that connects you and I is that belief that you to grow, learn, and scale, you need to get comfortable with being very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And some days that's really tough. So yeah. I'd really love for you to share, Kathy, around the difficulties along the way, how you coped, what you did, and what you learned.
So, yes, I am an incredible big believer of being uncomfortable. So I have learned not to say no. So saying yes is the start of that. unless it actually crosses a boundary. So first of all, I guess the fear of knowing where to start is usually something that people hold back on. They don't ask the question. Mm-hmm. So being uncomfortable in being vulnerable and asking for help, being uncomfortable in saying, you know what, this is my place of genius, and even though I can actually do this scope of work, this is my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Do you want to actually come on board and collaborate with me? So yeah. Actually letting go, you know, to actually play in one small area is one of the challenges that a lot of people face. There's this incredible perception that if, you know, I gift knowledge, if I actually bring somebody else on board and share, then somehow I'm going to miss out. That is so far from the truth.
It doesn't work that way, though. It doesn't work that way. The more you give and collaborate, and particularly for women in business, co-create, amazing yes. things happen. Amazing things.
Absolutely. And so I think particularly when you are either a solopreneur, you are a female in business, they're potentially the biggest obstacles that you're going to face. And shouting out another woman or another person, you know, in a room where I say of opportunities, they're obstacles. Be comfortable in actually doing that. I can't think of anything more that I would love to do than to actually do that. And that's actually taking me out of my comfort zone, because in sometimes that might be perceived as, oh, she's not as good as what I've heard. You know, because I'm actually suggesting somebody else. But that actually shows how comfortable I am in who I am.
And you're, yes, yes.
You know, and we struggle with that, don't we? Understanding that, right? Sorry, Tony, I cut you off there. But
No. I was wholeheartedly agreeing with you. Please, please go on, Kathy.
Yeah. Look, it's the one thing that, particularly when I either work with women or our younger generation, it is the one thing that I actually stress the most. And I am a big believer of calling things for what I see and what I feel. And I could be off the mark, but what I actually express is that this is what I'm experiencing, or this is what I'm actually seeing. Is that what you're actually sharing with me? In that moment, that actually does create uncertainty. It actually creates a really uncomfortable feeling, because they then need to pause and think about what it is that I'm actually asking of them. But it's through those moments, those friction that occurs in that moment when we grow the most.
Yeah.
That's then when we actually allow ourselves to either recognize a learnt behavior or pattern and identify, do I want to change this? Ask the question, who do I choose to be? Yeah. And more importantly, what else can I actually take away from it? So there are, I guess, my areas where I recognize the uncomfortable elements.
And the areas where you've learnt the most and it's been the most difficult to walk through.
Yeah.
In terms of growing your business, and I've been leaning into / learning a little bit about this recently, and understanding that in the timeline of business growth, there's certain periods that you get to or need to get through. So, for instance, people will say, oh, the first 2 to 3 years can be really, really tough, and then you reach a spot where things start to flow more naturally and more easily, and you start to hit these points further along in the scaling of your business. Is that something that you've observed, Kathy, working with people and businesses over your time?
Yeah, it's interesting, because there's a lot of statistics around the success in business and how that actually tends to be higher in the first 2 years, and it drops off by year five. Okay. And part of that is actually attributed to, there are a few factors, but partially that's attributed to business acumen, who's in the business, cash flow, understanding where you're Priorities actually lie in the process of scaling. Do I bring somebody on board before I actually get the project? You know, all of those sorts of things. So the one thing that I actually do really differently, particularly with startups, is that it's actually creating the plan as if you already are scaling. It doesn't mean that you implement it, but you actually understand to the level of your exit strategy. I actually incorporate the exit into the initial startup business plan. That then actually, and I, of course, having a financial background, I incorporate budgets and cash flows. And it's not what you would get out of MYOB or out of Xero. It is literally understanding your starting balance, your actual influx of income, any delays in your actual influx of income, so that you know month by month where the anomalies are and what you actually need. That includes all of your actual overall expenses. So it is really detailed. And the one thing that I hear the most is, Kathy, numbers aren't my thing. So I go, that's because you haven't been shown. It's not that numbers aren't your thing. Let me just clarify that. So I really break things down.
Yeah.
The number of times that I have clients go, I've just gone to my accountant with this, and they've gone, oh, my God, that's incredible. How do you do that? Like, I've never seen that. What an accountant does is not what you need as a business owner.
Oh.
So do not hand over power to anybody else. Because when you don't understand your numbers, it is difficult to scale a business. It's really that simple. So you're scaling in understanding at each stage where your growth is.
Yes.
Actually comes from understanding your numbers. That also then becomes really critical for you to understand where you sit in the business as your place of genius. Because you know what? When we all start out, we're everything.
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes. Yes.
We do
yes.
everything. It's chaos. It's like,
managed chaos and breathlessness is what I would describe it as. Managed chaos and breathlessness, and that constant feeling of uncomfortableness that you have to actually get comfortable with and go, right, this is what is needed to grow and continue to grow rapidly and continue to scale. So, Kathy, what I'm understanding is that, backtrack once. What do you consider the period of time that a business is in startup phase?
2 years.
Okay. And then what's the next phase? Generally speaking,
so the next phase is actually you looking at bringing on, you know, one or two people, and they might actually be part-timers.
Mm-hmm.
You need to identify what parts of the business you really don't like to do. Mm-hmm. Me, I don't like marketing. I actually brought on a marketer day one, you know. But for me, it was, I'm not going to start up a business if I can't bring on a marketer. So my business plan is actually really critical. I needed to understand exactly what I needed, you know, to actually hit the ground running, including another person in my business. So it's not even about, well, maybe what you don't like is your weakness in the business. You know, it is for me. It's not that I don't understand it, Tony, but I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, so why invest my time in something that, it's not my place of genius. You know, I can be far more productive actually working to my strengths, and that's for everybody.
Yeah.
So actually plan to have somebody else in that business that isn't your strength.
Mm.
So by the time you start, I always work in an 18-month cycle as a minimum.
Yes. Yeah.
So by the time you start, 18 months down the track, you should already actually identify what your next growth stage is.
Yeah.
You will then also be able to identify how you are scaling. Is it actually about, you know, the products, the services that you're offering? Is it actually about bringing in another person to the team that will actually replicate what you're doing? Is it actually about going online? There are so many ways to actually scale a business, but you need to actually understand that from the onset and be ready and prepared with whatever that strategy is. By 18 months, you should already have that embedded so that you start that scaling stage. Mm-hmm. So that next 6 months is actually the tweaking stage. That scaling stage becomes an evolution. No business stops growing.
I was actually going to ask you about that, because what I started out thinking was my business is completely different to mm-hmm. where I see it heading. So there's been a huge evolution from when I started and to what I see the vision is now. And so I'm thinking, gosh, if I had have done that foundation work then, it would have no applicability to what I'm trying to build now. And I'm just wondering, that's probably not unique to my business, but it may be unique to other businesses who start out selling organic soap, and that's what they'll do is sell organic soap, but it may be scaled into department stores or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that evolution of your business is kind of fascinating to me.
And look, the actual growth can be services, but it can actually just be to even become quite definite in the one thing that you do.
Yeah.
But you actually yes. do it at a different scale, you know. So you can actually really define one product as opposed to four that you are doing, but you then actually start working with government contracts. So scaling is so different.
Yes.
And all of that actually becomes part of the strategy. Do you know, the number of times, Tony, that I'm usually brought in because somebody's engaged somebody else to actually help their business grow. Mm-hmm. 2 years down the track, they go,
He's not working.
Not with me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I come in to do the turnarounds. The number of times that I go, can I have a look at your business plan? What was there? And usually there isn't one. But if there is, at best it's 4 pages. My business plans are 50 and 60 pages.
Okay.
Okay. That's the level of difference that you get, you know, depending on who you're working with. Mm. But that then means that you actually know each of your milestones, and as you bring somebody on board, they actually know the roadmap too, because it's already been created. The biggest thing in business is to actually be able to share your vision. You've got it, Tony. You yes. know exactly where you want to be. And as yes. it changes, it's evolving in your head, even if you're not communicating it.
Yes, yes.
But if you are genuinely wanting to scale and you need to bring other people along, you've got to be able to actually convey that at a level where not only you're telling them where you want to be in your vision, but you then actually embody everything that they need into the yes. business, and they understand it. So they know how they're contributing. More yeah. importantly, they can enhance that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the bits that get missed out. You know, yeah. it's then becomes a reactive game as opposed to responding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the different lens that I actually bring in whenever I work with businesses.
Yeah, that which makes you different to what other companies do. Kathy, I want to talk about finance, and mm-hmm. in particular, I want to talk about women in finance and women entrepreneurs and businesses' access to finance. Mm. So it's really tricky. So for most of us and most of the female entrepreneurs that I talk to, we're bootstrapping. We're borrowing from this pot and that pot and this credit card and that credit card. Why is it so difficult for us as women to attract finance and investment?
Can I say that it's because nobody sits down to do a business plan?
Of course.
So, me sitting on the other side, because that's where my sweet spot was. And by the way, when I first started, women couldn't borrow money. It was actually you know, it wasn't okay. Thanks to women, but that shows my age. But anyway, but today, you know, through my career, whenever somebody actually approached me as a lender, I needed to see their strategy. I needed to see their business plan. But that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Particularly, you know, women have got so many transferable skills that when they decide to do something, they have this incredible vision. But putting it down on paper,
I mean, it's really tricky.
Really putting it down on paper, they don't. So if you turn up to anybody and show them their one-page business plan, I'm sorry, you know, as much as I love you and I love your vision, I actually don't have the faith that you can, in fact, do that. I can't, I don't have that.
So, Kathy, if someone is a little bit down the track and they have a business plan but it really doesn't suit where they want to go and where that bigger vision, that clarity of vision is, that's where you can come in and create that business plan and then go, okay, here's where you might be able to find a bucket of finance that can help you do this, this and this.
There are so many different lenders out in the market that can absolutely do that. But you need to actually get that front bit up first.
You need that business plan.
Yeah, you really do. And that's why the cash flow then becomes such an integral part.
Yes.
You know, it's not just about saying, here's my product, this is how much I'm going to sell it for, and this is how much it costs me. What about all the bits in between?
Yep. Right. And that all goes into your business plans, Kathy. All that detail goes into your business plans, which then in turn informs a lender, an investor, whoever, about here's where we're going.
Absolutely. When I actually sit down with people to do that, I can tell you the scalability is usually 200%. You know, they're the results that I get with my clients. You know, I have clients who have gone from 6 staff to 68 staff, turning over $5 million from a couple of hundred thousand in 12 months. You know, scaling businesses that have gone from, you know, a few hundred million to a billion in 14 months. It is all possible when you know what you actually are, you know, making as far as part of your margin in each of your products, in each of your services.
This is a fascinating conversation to have on live on the show, because there's so many women that might be listening and going, but yeah, I've got this big vision, but the reality is that somehow they have to get that out of their head and down onto paper and into a business plan, and that's your sweet spot. That's what you love to do. That's where your genius zone is. And then with your finance background, then you can probably also help them get the funds that will ensure that that scale of the business happens.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And that must be incredibly gratifying for you, Kathy.
You know what it is? What I love the most is really actually seeing that aha moment where they look at it and go, oh, my gosh, this makes sense. Like it's not even that, you know, we're now discovering something new. Mm-hmm. It actually totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that I've struggled with over the years is the term business advisor. So many people say that I'm a business advisor, or, you know, they sit on a board, right? And I go, okay, what was your actual requirement for sitting on the board? What was the mandate? What are you actually delivering when you sit on a board or when you're engaged? And the person who's been appointed looks at me, let alone the person who's appointed them, and they don't have an answer. I'm going to help the business grow. In what capacity? So when you're actually bringing anybody on board, know the outcome that you actually want that person to achieve. You know, there's so many people that are really being burnt because, you know, they like the person that they're engaging, or, you know, they've heard from somebody else that they're doing a great job.
Yes.
But they may not actually serve your needs.
Yeah.
They may not be well equipped. Have they actually achieved exactly what you need to achieve? Because
mm-hmm.
if mm-hmm. they haven't, it doesn't matter. They're not the right person, right?
Yeah.
So really understanding, it's like sitting in that place of genius.
Yeah.
You know, if my place of genius is this, but somebody else does this better, guess what?
Yeah.
That's who you should be appointing.
And, Kathy, I'm guessing that you can help because sometimes when you're sitting in that position of managing director and CEO, you're not always the best person to work out. You know what you like doing. You know what you don't like doing. But actually having someone with external lens come and look at you and your business might actually go, well, do you know you're actually really good at that, that, and that? Whereas someone else might be able to do this, this, and this that you insist on doing, and it drives you crazy. But you still do it because you think that you have to do it, or you think that you like it, so you keep doing it. Whereas if we put this person in that spot doing that, that relieves all of this time for you to do what you're good at.
Yeah.
So that's about that external lens and the power of someone else's thoughts and perspective looking at your business. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's where my blind spots, that piece that I was saying earlier, I remove blind spots. You know, it actually also comes from when you're actually an entrepreneur or you run a small business, you spend time in the business.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the things that I help accelerate.
Yeah.
My job is to actually remove you from working in the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can actually continue that vision.
Yes.
And that actual growth.
Yes.
And then allow people to sit in their place of genius to do the business. And a lot of people are fearful of that. It's about letting go.
Yes.
You know, it's actually about relinquishing their, you know, their baby. This is mine, right? It's still yours. It's still yours. You're just empowering somebody else to actually elevate.
It.
Yes. You know, your business, you know. And that's a really difficult mind shift, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of the work that I do also incorporates the counselling qualifications.
Yeah.
So it's never just about money.
Okay. Because, Kathy, from my perspective, the reason why you are an entrepreneur is about that work-life balance, and it is about being able to take 3 weeks off and travel and know that the business is still keeping on and your team are empowered to manage in your absence.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when I said earlier, when you go to the bank and you actually are asking for money, guess one of the things that I'd be looking at? Key risk factors.
Yeah.
Who's that key risk factor? You are. If you're the only person that can run the business, guess what?
You have
no business.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So there are so many things that, you know, I incorporate that we look at that is actually about making sure that it is sustainable, scalable, and you do actually reach that place of freedom, you know, freedom to do whatever it is that you want to do.
And, Kathy, you can demonstrate that by doing the work that you do, the business planning. You can go, okay, so in 6 months, 8 months, whatever it is, you can look at doing X, Y, Z. And in 12 months, you can look at doing PQRS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's about having that clarity and knowledge around your business. Fantastic.
Exactly.
So I also wanted you to share with the audience today one of the most difficult decisions you had to make in your company that benefited your employees and clients, and why that decision was so difficult, and what were the positive things that come out of that. So big question.
I think the one thing was that I was very clear in saying no to the wrong people. So, yes, it is a business opportunity. Yes, it's increasing bottom line. It doesn't align with my values. And it's hard to let go of business, right? Because you're growing. Yes. That's what you're there to do. So it was a really interesting process. However, that has actually freed me. Letting go of business that no longer aligned with who was, who the business was, who we were as a team,
mm-hmm.
actually freed us up to attract and to do business with the people that we wanted to. So what does that do? You know, it creates that ripple effect. You actually attract like-minded people. They then actually refer like-minded people. Business is no longer hard, right?
Yeah.
But that initial step is difficult, Tony. You know, to think that I'm saying no to something that, gosh, oh, my gosh, like I'm...
You need that cash flow. I've got bills to pay.
Exactly. Right? But there is always a way around it.
Uh-huh.
And once you close the door, oh, my gosh, it's like a flood that actually will come rushing through because you have now enabled that energy to be focused in the right direction.
So it is about saying no to people who don't fit with your values and business. Kathy, mm-hmm. can you tell the audience about your values? Can you tell us what they are?
First of all, I think I shared earlier, the circular economy for me is vital. So if you're not prepared to actually have that philosophy and belief and you follow through in paying things forward, I'm not the person for you. It's really that simple.
Yes.
My entire belief is that we're actually on this planet to elevate humanity, to actually make sure people in developing countries, in developing communities are given the same opportunities.
Absolutely.
So that's my belief, you know. So whatever it is, as long as you have that and it's demonstrated, then that's one of the things that I look at. The second thing is that, even though, and I'm saying this as a finance person, money does not come first. It's people first.
Yeah.
Hence why our actual business is called People Advisory First, right? It's people and business advisory. If you honestly have people at the center of everything that you do, that's another value of mine.
Yeah.
Then it's actually about transparency, honesty, integrity, ethics. You know, ethics is actually at the top of my list. And it's, I don't compromise any of those. You know,
they're non-negotiables for you, Kathy.
Absolutely. So they're the key things. There's actually an entire list, and it's part of my business plan. It's actually there.
I was just going to say, do you put that like at the start of your business plan, Kathy? Is that where it sits?
It does. You know, and I think earlier, you know, you were saying about, you know, well, I share an exit plan. I know my exit plan. I know where I want to be. You know, will my business actually evolve? It is always going to evolve. But where I actually sit in the business, again, part of
changes.
The strategy, changes,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
You know, and I have three different areas to the business.
Yes.
So in 2027, Solutions to You will not be where I sit. It will actually be in Raise the Baseline, which is actually all the leadership programs that I do in developing countries. That's it. That's the only place that I will actually be sitting in, you know. And what does that mean? I'm not no longer in Africa. The next place that I'm targeting is the Ukraine, you know.
Oh,
so for me, it is, you know, what they're experiencing now, I can start planning for that, you know. And I've actually earmarked particular people. One of my co-authors in one of our books is actually from the Ukraine, you know. So we have the ability to actually start to influence today. It's not about getting to a destination and starting then. Everything is about planning.
Start today.
Yeah. So you know how I said 18 months? I work 5 years in advance. I just scale things back to a minimum of 18 months, but 5 years, you know. So it doesn't matter what it is that you want to do, Tony. Everything is possible. If we, when we're working together, that's how I start to map things out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It then becomes really clear for everyone.
Yeah. So businesses can come to you and go, well, I've kind of got an old business plan, but here's what I really want to do. Here's what lights me up, and this is what it looks like, but I can't quite get it from that big down into this business plan. And yep. That's where you step in and go, right.
And then I flip things.
Yeah.
Because then I go, that's not big enough.
Oh, that's good to hear. Okay.
Now, the number of times that I hear, oh, my gosh, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And, that you know, people have been in successful businesses for 20 years that say that. But I
say that every day, Cathy. There's every single day there is still so much to learn, and I am innately curious about everything in and around the world. So that curiosity just keeps burning me forward all the time. What if we did this? What would it look like if this worked? What would it look like if we got that and that and that and this worked that way? And it's an amazing place to be in, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm going to share with you, change one word that will actually then shift your mind.
Yeah.
When you ask what if, it actually introduces a subconscious level of doubt. But if you replace if with else, so what else?
What else? That's brilliant.
Opens the mind. Really simple.
Yeah.
But it actually then creates the solution.
Yeah, that's
powerful. You're not left in doubt.
What else? What else is there? What else is there? What else is there? Yeah. Kathy, as you've talked about some of your vision and mission for 5 years, I'm really curious, what does the 10-year plan for Kathy look like?
I'm actually covered in red dirt in the middle of Africa. That's where I'm actually going to rest my place.
Really?
It's really interesting for me. I mean, my first visit was 2014, I think it was, when my daughter actually, you know, prepared for her trip. I didn't know what to expect, and there were a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when I go back, I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it. You know, I don't have heritage from Africa.
Yeah.
But I feel so much at peace, and it feels like I'm finally doing what I'm meant to be doing. So that's where I actually envisage that my ending place will be. It's not
in
to
Africa.
Be that, in Africa. Yeah.
And that's the thing, though, Kathy. It is uniquely individual, those feelings of where you are at home and where you see yourself being are completely unique to each individual human being. And whatever it is, it that really doesn't matter. It's just that it's yours and it's your vision and it's your clarity around that vision.
Look, absolutely. You know, there are so many things that I, you know, have done in the last 12 months where it actually wasn't in my scope of works. It wasn't in my vision. But by actually asking what else, you know, what else can I do? You know, who do I choose to be? Yeah. It then actually allows you to honestly think limitlessly. I have this incredible belief that nothing crosses your mind or your path for no reason.
Yeah.
But if you allow that to actually just sit for it to
and
resonate.
Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. Don't go, oh, my goodness, that's not me. Well, actually, let it sit and let it see what percolates. In the last 5 minutes, Kathy, I just wanted to quickly talk about women in business and women moving forward in this age that we're in. I had an interesting conversation interview with one of my co-hosts yesterday, whose comment was that by 2024, it will be the era of the middle-aged woman. And I looked at her and thought, wow, Wow, because I kind of feel that some of that stuff is happening now. I don't want to wait till 2024. That's 2 years away. That things could be, tell me how you see women in business in particular, because my fundamental belief is that women are here to change the world, and now is the time that we're here to change the world, and now is when we will have a seat at the table, so to speak, and now is when we will start to impact the world and humanity from a climate global perspective and from an intuitive and higher level of understanding perspective as well. So I just, in the last few minutes, I'd love you to comment on your thoughts around that, women in particular.
So I actually agree with you, Tony. I actually see the transitioning happening right now. In fact, the one thing that's actually holding women back is the fact that they're not quite certain as to where to start. It's not the doubt. It's how do I start? When do I start? That is such a simple process if they dare to ask. Asking for help. By 2024, we'll have already seen the transition taking place.
That's what I think too. And we will be entering a powerful era by 2024. I actually think we will be well into that next era that changes the trajectory of humanity. That's what I feel.
Look, it's interesting. International Women's Day this year was actually about breaking the barriers. The reality for me is that we're actually creating the barriers for ourselves. Barriers that we're talking about was in restriction in respect to restrictions. Well, we're actually giving them the space because we're talking about it as opposed to just do it. We don't need to wait to be given permission.
We already
Just go
have
out and
permission.
do it. Yes. Let's actually start sponsoring one another. As females, can you please actually shout out another woman in a room of opportunities and don't let her know about it? That's how we will actually create that ripple effect. Start the side hustle on the side. If you need that security financially, of where you are, start the side hustle. Nothing is actually stopping you. Create that actual vision and just start today.
Just
Draw
start
that line
today.
in the sand. That's it.
It really is as simple as making a decision. Today, I decide X, Y, Z. And then just go from there. You don't have to have, we've been talking about business planning the whole show, but in that instance when you make that decision, you don't actually have to have a plan because that will come. If you include that as part of your thought pattern, part of what is important to you going forward, you will make that happen by virtue of making the decision in the first place.
Absolutely. It's not in the how. That's not what should hold you back. Right? That's where you actually get expert advice. The how comes from somebody else. So don't let that actually hold you back.
Absolutely. Kathy DeMarcos, I am so delighted that I got to interview you on the show today. You do the most amazing work, have the biggest, beautifulest visions, do phenomenal philanthropy across the planet, and so you are someone that I absolutely look up to as a leader amongst women and who I would like to be in very short amount of time. The Tony version of all the things that you do would be just perfect for me.
Oh, you are very, very kind, but Tony, the best version of you is you, the whole of
Absolutely.
you as you are, right?
Still working on that little bit. Kathy, before we run out of time, a quick plug for your company. Where can people find you? How is best to connect with you, in our last 1 minute?
Well, solutions to you, the number two, and you.com.au is my website. And
Fantastic.
LinkedIn, Kathy
LinkedIn's the best.
DeMarcos is the best way for me to, yes, connect.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And if you've missed those, wherever you're seeing this show, in the show notes will be the links to Kathy and all of her socials, as well as the way to connect with her. Kathy DeMarcos, Solutions to You. Thank you so much for being on Everyday Business today. And that, my friends, is your lot for this week. Please thank Kathy, everyone. Bye for now.
Thank you. See you.
Bye.
I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because if I fail, that means I fail for my entire female nation, I call it.
Is that possible? That was the question for myself.